WGCH Radio. It's time now for that informative issues and answers show, Greenwich Matters, where your host, Sam Romeo, will keep you up to date on the political scene in Greenwich, along with decisions made at the state and federal levels that impact Greenwich. And of course, he'll take your calls at 661-5051. That's 661-5051. And now, here is your host, Sam Romeo.
At Parsonage, their philosophy is to assist you in living life your way in a unique home-like setting that values dignity, pride, and independence. If you seek some assistance with daily living, Parsonage Cottage is a senior residence providing an affordable transition between home and nursing care. For many seniors, a little help with meals, housekeeping, and personal services makes the difference between happily living alone or being dependent upon family and friends. Their dedicated staff provides a full spectrum of services and activities to ensure the happiness, comfort, well-being, and independence of every resident. Parsonage Cottage is conveniently located off Exit 4 of I-95 and Exit 31 of the Merritt Parkway at 88 Parsonage Road in Greenwich. They invite you to contact them for a no-obligation tour of the facility. Call Penny Laurie at 203-869-6226. 869-6226. Parsonage, where you live life your way.
Nobody knows like Finocchio knows. He knows our business.
For over 50 years, Finocchio Brothers Incorporated has served the commercial and residential construction industries with scheduled or on-call trash and debris removal. Finocchio can also supply you with any size or special dumpster. For prompt, reliable service with radio dispatch trucks, the ability to load at ground level, and always a competitive price, call Finocchio Brothers every time. In Connecticut, call 203-869-9099. Or in New York, call 914-939-5346. Finocchio Brothers, Liberty Place in Stamford. We knows our business. Call 203-869-9099 or 914-939-5346.
Okay, we're back. We're live. We had some technical difficulties here. But what we're doing it through the phone. So hopefully everything sounds okay. I guess it does for now, and we'll have to figure out what the glitch is. We had it once before, and
I know
it's back again, and I don't know why. And Bob can hear me, but
I can vice versa. Bob. Right? Yeah,
I can hear Bob, but Bob can't hear me. Maybe it's my headset. Maybe it's.
Well, I suppose it could be that. Number of things you have to check.
Yeah, all right. I checked my mute button. My mute button is okay.
All right.
So I'll play with it during the next break anyway.
Okay.
But good evening, folks. Welcome to another segment of the Greenwich Matters show. If you want to get on the line, we do still have two open lines. 661-5051 if you want to call in. Tuesday, I had a really interesting day. I testified in Hartford via Zoom. The public hearing started around 10:30 in the morning, and they had 105 people signed up to speak. And as luck would have it, I was number 51. Luckily, it was 51.
That sounds like a pretty good 50-50 luck.
Yeah, it's right in the middle.
Yeah.
And I got to speak, Bob, believe it or not. So it started at 10:30, and my number came up around, I think it was 5:45.
Wow.
And everybody had 3 minutes, and the senators had a opportunity to question the testifiers. And so I used my 3 minutes. And the bill I was speaking against, actually, was a housing bill. The bill number was 6831. They called it ride share or fair share. And the bill was supposed to allow 10 times the density in a transit district, which would cover train stations, within a half-mile radius. So it would be like an as-of-right that a developer would be able to come in, and where they would only be allowed to have one unit of housing, could put in 10 units of housing.
Whoa.
So that is, you know, something that I'm totally against. That would, you know, think of a, you know, Manhattan-style high-rise building and being able to put 10 times in every lot. Would also be a detriment and a strain on our infrastructure, roads, water, fire, police, you name it.
Yeah. That so, much concentration of people in a small area, that's
right,
terrible.
Right. And that's somewhat a host of different things. And they're trying to sell it as it was a help for the elderly or help for people need, according to the statistics they put together, we need 110,000 units of housing in Connecticut. And my question to the legislators, senators, was, where are these people now? 110,000 units? Even if you only put, you know, I think they use an average of like 3.5, but I'd be more conservative. They say, just say two people because per unit. What the developers are building now, they're building studios and one bedrooms just to meet the criteria so they can maximize their profits. So if that's just two, that means that the 220,000 more people need homes here in Connecticut. Well, where are these 220,000 people now? They're not in the street. Well, 220,000 people? You know, it's a couple of cities or four or five small towns. Where are these people? And I never got an answer. So I was really speaking out against it, and I think it didn't do what they think it's going to do. Just like 830G, it may be well-intended, but it's not doing what they thought it would do. And the developers, yes, they're coming in. They're building studios and one-bedrooms on the affordable side and then, you know, getting high-end buildings on the other side, just like they're trying to do on Mesa Street, right down the street from my studio here.
Right.
And they're going to put in... I think, 48 townhouses, condominiums, and have for sale units and for below market rate units. And even at that, the prices that they have to get for them, I don't think they're going to be able to afford them in the first place, based on credit ratings and interest rates. And the people who are going to be able to afford them, well, daddy and mommy with some extra cash will probably buy the unit for them. So it's just a bad deal, and I don't think it'll work. What I suggested to them, I wasn't all negative in my kind of conversation with them, and believe it or not, they questioned me for about 15 minutes or so, and also our first selectman Fred Camillo testified. And I grilled him for about 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I explained to him, to the Senate committee, that, you know, here in Greenwich, we made tremendous strides in affordable housing and invited them down, and our first selectman invited them down also. to come see what we're doing. And the governor's been here several times, and he's praised Greenwich and Greenwich communities for what we've been doing here. So it's a tremendous amount of work that we put into it. And I told him that we spent over $170 million already in new construction and renovations in all of our property. So we're doing what works and what's best for the community. We're building a mix of family units, and also we're building senior units and handicap units. Mm-hmm. So we got a good mix going here, and I believe we're on the right track. And when I said what I think they should be doing, rather than the state and these committees sitting down and talking to themselves and telling us what they want us to do, in other words, them formulating the plan from the top down and then forcing it on the communities, is not the right way to go. The right way to go is to work from the bottom up. People like myself and other housing authorities know what works and what they need and what hurdles they have to climb over to get the outcome that we're looking for. With regulation, funding, land costs, all these other things that we have to take in consideration, and what drives up the cost of housing when we do a development. So I said the governor or the legislature should appoint a committee made up of housing authorities and commissioners, and have them get together in a room and hash it out and say, okay, let them come up with the bill for you guys to approve, because we know what we need and we know what works. That would be the best way to handle the affordable housing problem.
Yeah.
And as far as the 110,000 units, I question that. I think the first thing we should be looking at is working families and the homeless, not about building units so people can move here from other areas. That's not what we're looking to do.
Mm.
So, I was waited all day long to get that in, and I did my 3 minutes of speech, and it was other things I hit on in talking to them, and then we had the give and take in the questioning. But maybe it might even longer, but I think I made the point. I think, it wasn't just that, no, I don't want this. I gave them a choice and an alternative to look at. And I think mine was, reasonable.
I get the feeling, Sam, that maybe they're not looking for reasonable. They're looking for more people in this state so that there's more money coming into the state.
Yeah, and it's the way I look at it would be like having an unfunded mandate, because there's no money around for them. I mean, the town of Greenwich and every municipality, they mm-hmm. don't put money into the coffers to build this. So it's up to the housing authorities to find the money, look for the grants, look for the tax credits, negotiate with the state for loans.
Yeah.
And then they come up with a project that can pay for itself. It's not just like you got free money and a blank check and go out and build 100 units and whatever it costs. Doesn't work that way. So there's a lot that we have to take into it when we do our investigations and our assessments on what the needs are. And then we work closely with the community, with all the other agencies also, and we pretty much know what we need here in Greenwich. And I'm not looking statewide, I'm looking townwide, because, after all, my first priority is town of Greenwich, not the state of Connecticut. And that's the way I look at it.
And it's a big enough job right there, without taking into account the rest of the state. This is why you have people like you in each municipality in this state.
Right.
Because it needs to be done that way.
each one knows the needs.
Yeah.
And actually, too, and I told them, too, I said, right now, that we started out when I came into the Housing Authority with like 4.5% of affordable housing in the town. And during my tenure here, we've driven that up to 5.7%. It's a big jump, almost 2%.
Mm.
We've increased the housing stock here, along with doing all the renovations and upgrades in our facilities. So, again, like I said, the governor came down here and praised us, said, look to Greenwich. If you want to see what's going on and you want to get leadership, Greenwich is doing it right. So I was pleased to hear those kind words from the governor, and we'll continue to do what we do. And right now I have plans and that we have developed to build another 350 units of affordable housing here in the town. And we own the land already. All we need is the financing to finish it off. So come what may, if I'm still around in the next 5 years, I'll get that 350 units into our system.
Can you talk about where that property is?
Sure. I have a property in Byram, McKinney Terrace. It's 52 units.
Uh-huh.
I have property in the backside of Armstrong Court, another 52.
Hmm.
I have Corey Knowles, which is under development, 7 acres, with only 50 units of housing on it.
Mm-hmm.
So 7 acres, 50 units, it's totally underused and underdeveloped property, and I can put in a couple of hundred units right there. So, and this is all in line with the town conservation plan of development. And it doesn't impede on anybody's neighborhood. We blend into the neighborhood when we do projects like this. And we go through the normal process. And they won't be 830G projects, which was asking for to throw out all the zoning laws. When we do a project, we try to stay within the guidelines of the regular zoning laws to comply with zoning without having to ask for any bonuses. So, unlike the developers come into our community, and they use an 830G, and all the zoning regulations are thrown out the window and ties the hands of the Planning and Zoning Commission. They really can't deny anything unless it has an effect on public safety or health. Other than that, all the other rules and regulations are thrown out the window. And that's what this new bill that the legislatures have put up does. It puts a hammer in the hands of the developer. So now they got a 830G in one hand, and they got 6831 in the other hand. They got two sledgehammers to destroy the town. So I ended my testimony by saying, I've lived here in Greenwich all my life. And I remember as a young boy growing up in Greenwich. And that's when we called it Greenwich.
Right.
And our logo was the Green Witch.
Yeah.
And I woke up one morning, and it was Greenwich. I don't know what happened. I went to bed one night in Greenwich, woke up in Greenwich. Now what I'm afraid of happening is that I'm going to bed in Greenwich, and I'm going to wake up in Manhattan.
Mm.
With all these high rises. So I vote no on this bill, please. Oh. Anyway, it looks like we need a quick air break, Bobby.
Yes, we can do a break.
Yeah, and while we go into the break, let's try to reconnect if we can. Oh, I see engineer turn up again. See if that we can reboot.
Okay.
All right.
Also,
too, if that doesn't work, and the next one, I'll try my other microphone, see if that's a problem.
Oh, that's a thought.
So 661-5051, you're listening to Sam Romeo on 1490 WGCH and his cell phone.
And WGCH.com.
Mostly cloudy for tonight with patchy fog diminishing overnight in the low 30s, then mostly sunny for tomorrow near 40. Wind chills in the 20s, then partly cloudy for tomorrow night in the low 20s with a mostly sunny sky for Saturday. We'll warm into the mid-30s, then mostly cloudy for Sunday. Snow possible with accumulation around an inch in the upper 30s. Then mostly sunny for Monday. I'm meteorologist Chris Rush on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no coverage at all. These days, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of the biggest expenses can be your car, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan. You could save thousands with one call to CarShield. Call 800-840-1546 now to see if you qualify. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and more can become a thing of the past. Plus, call 800-840-1546 right now and get free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options. Call 800-840-1546 today and get your car protected before your next repair bill hits. Just call 800-840-1546 to see if your car qualifies. 800-840-1546. That's 800-840-1546. Again, 800-840-1546. Coverage varies by plans. View contracts and exclusions at carshield.com.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town with a picture window overlooking a yard. And you found it. Now, when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats too. Your neighbor's daily pickleball game. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Do not invite car thieves to our community. Do not leave your keys in your car. Lock your car. Lock it or lose it. A message brought to you by Greenwich Matters.
This is Connecticut's team.
And the Huskies celebrate championship time for three. Yeah, he got it! With no time left, it went in.
Huskies march on.
Drives inside the alley, and he crammed it home.
Three long one.
Good.
Listen all season long on your home for UConn men's basketball.
Enjoy the whole season right here on 1490 WGZH.
Hey, we are back, 661-5051. We are live, and we are on the air.
We are, yep.
Okay. Hey, so what else happened? So that was my day. It pretty much killed my whole day from 10:30 in the morning till, 6 o'clock. I got through maybe a little after 6. And then there was another gentleman from also my district who was online, and he had texted me and told me he was number 98.
Oh, boy.
thank God it wasn't me. So he got to speak around 11:30 on the that item. So, but I have to give these legislators, too, they have to stay there because this is their hearing. They do take lunch breaks and bathroom breaks and dinner breaks, but still, all day long.
Right.
On this committee. And, pretty much, we had a lot of people speaking out against it, but I have feelings that the fix is usually in. And they get all these paid lobbyists who are supposed to be nonprofits, but they're actually shell companies of the lobbyists. And they're they're actually paid lobbyists. So I don't know where this is going. There's so much wrong with this bill, with public hearings and everything that really are excluded, that don't help any. So hopefully we can do something. I don't know. I'm not optimistic on this one. It came up last year. Actually, this is about the fourth time it's coming up. And the last time, Ryan Fazio, our senator, filibustered it because it came up for a vote in the closing hours of the legislation in the House.
Yeah.
And they ran out of time, so they pulled it, and it never got a vote. But here they are, in the new session, bingo, bright and early, coming back with it again. They're relentless. They don't quit. They just don't quit.
Just need to give them a good reason. They'll back down.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. So,
that's why you were there. And I think that's very good of you to go up there and do that, Sam.
Oh, man, I wasn't looking forward to it, believe me.
Because
I've been there, that route, on many of occasions. And you do have to just sit there and be bored to death until your turn comes. So, all right. So if anybody got a comment, 661-5051. We're here. We're live, and we'll take your calls. Last night I had an interesting night. Last night, we have in the state of Connecticut, and it's really through the Department of Homeland Security, and each town has a CERT committee, and CERT stands for Community. Response emergency team, all right? Community emergency response team.
Oh, I see.
And we we get trained for helping the other first responders and essentials. So we're like a backup to the police, the fire, GEMS. And we help out in times of either we have a flood or tornado or disaster, a plane crash, whatever, and we need more hands. So there's a CERT team that's responded and activated through the Homeland Security office, and our emergency manager coordinator Joe Lucarella, which operates out of Gent. This is a job that Danny Vizzoli used to handle, but Joe is now our emergency manager coordinator for the town of Greenwich. And he's stationed out of Gent under our budget. And I think it was 2015 when CERT first came into operation, and I took the training back then, and we had like 40 first responders, CERT responders, graduate the program, and it's some people have moved away, some people have dropped out, so they're reactivating it to make sure that we have some people on first responders or second responders, or called up to be back in action again. So I decided to take the retraining. So the first class was last night, a 3-hour class at the police station. And we'll be doing training every Wednesday till the end of the month, which and graduation is, I believe, on the 26th of February, and be through all the classes. And I think I'm going to miss one class because on the 19th, I have my other cap I wear, the Housing Authority, have my board meeting. So
yeah.
I have to skip that one and make it up later. But it was very interesting, and I think it's good. It's another group of people that will be able to help in times of crisis here in the town of Greenwich. And we'll be trained to do whatever we needed to do, whether it be traffic control, supplying food and water, or evacuation, or you name it. We'll have the training and the qualifications to do it. So, again, that comes under the Homeland Security. So, it's really interesting. So I enjoyed the first class, and we had two officers from the Greenwich Police Department putting on the class and doing the training. And I guess Wednesday we'll be at the fire department doing our fire training next Wednesday.
So is this like a refresher for people who already are involved?
Yeah, for me it would be a refresher. About 20 of the, it was like another 20 people there. They're first-timers. This is more like refresher to me going back. And I can help assist in some of the training, too, because of the knowledge I have of going through this before. It's just like the police academy. I did that twice. I was the original class helping formulate the Citizen Police Academy. And then 10 years down the road, you know, we added a bunch of new stuff. So I took it again. And Chief Evie always teased me about it. He says, I'm the only one that has a MBA in Police Academy. My doctorate, he says.
that's the next step. Yeah.
So it was good. And again, it's very interesting in it. And it's good. It helps our first responders, and we can back them up. Yeah, they're back up.
Very good.
Hey,
I got a question for you, Sam. Being that I've heard this, I guess it was this morning, about our governor's plan to create a way to fund improvements for the really small kids, preschoolers. Did you hear about that, and what do you think of it?
Yes, I think it's a great thing. And he's got money set aside, or he's going to use some of the money from the rainy day fund. And some of the legislators are against it. They want it to go into the unfunded pension fund. But I think it's good to get a head start with these kids, and actually it helps working families. The kids are in a daycare program that's going to be free to them, and the parents both can get out and bring some more money into the household. So I think it's a good thing.
Do you think this will encourage more people creating businesses like that?
I think it would. Yes.
Yeah.
I know when my kids were young and they were in school, I was fortunate enough that, you know, my wife could stay home and be with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But even in my school here, and North Hyannis is a pretty well-to-do neighborhood, I would go by the school in the morning and I'd see kids, 7:30 in the morning, outside, rain or shine, snow or sleet, waiting to get into the school, and they couldn't be allowed in until, you know, maybe like 20 minutes before school started.
Yeah.
Because of liability problems. So I got together with some other of our residents here, and we started the first preschool program in the town in North Hyannis. And thank God for Ernie Fleshman, who was the superintendent at the time. Because I think if I had to try to do what I did back then today, it would never happen because of all of the regulations and red tape. And I'm a guy, I don't like red tape. But it would have never happened if it wasn't for Ernie Fleshman, because I got his complete support and what we did. And at the time, I was on a board of directors at a nursery school out of town, in Stanford, actually, Great Farms Nursery School.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't an accredited nursery school, but the parents that were involved in it, we made it a accredited nursery school. It was operated out of one of the Lutheran churches in Stanford that they rented space from. And I wrote the policy manual for it, and we got a grant, and we got approved as a accredited nursery school. So what happened was, I, having that knowledge, I brought it, and we got the parents together, and I wrote the personnel policy manual. We went through the grant process with the state. We got a $10,000 grant for the state of Connecticut to start it, and all I needed was a space for it. And I talked to Ernie Fleshman, and I wanted to use the cafeteria in the morning because it started out as a morning program. And we were only going to charge $75 a week to have these kids there.
Hmm.
And we needed, like, for every 10 students, we needed one teacher, you know, to monitor it, depending on their age. So I talked to Ernie. Ernie said, go ahead. He says, go ahead and do it. And I told him, I said, I know the Board of Education is going to want all kinds of stuff, you know, and it's going to, the paperwork will never get done in time to open this up in the spring. So he says, go ahead. He said, I'm retiring anyway. What are you going to do to me? I'm going to authorize it, he said. So he authorized it. And then comes the opening day. I invited all of the town officials and the Board of Education, and they got their nose bent out of shape because they said, we didn't go before then to get this approval to start it because we were using the school. And I said, well, I had the approval of Ernie Fleshman. And besides, don't you people read the papers? There's numerous stories all summer long that what we were doing, and the headlines in a couple of the newspapers.
Hmm.
So they started asking all the questions. And I had everything all done by then. The insurance policy, the personnel manual, the background checks on everybody, and everything that they were throwing at me, that here it is, here it is, here it is. So they had no alternative but to pick it up, and they had to back into it, and they had to prove it. So what happened was, it became a great success. Once the other schools in town found out about it, North Street. They called up, and they wanted to have a daycare program at their school. So I told them the process and what I did. And when they went to the state says, we're not giving out any more licenses for this kind of a program.
Hmm.
So they came to me and said, well, we can't have it, and, you know, we're envious of what you did. I said, it's all not lost. What we're going to do now is, I said, you're going to piggyback on my license, and we're going to call North Miami Child Care at North Street School.
Yes.
And so they did that, and I got them a grant, a 10 grand, and they opened it up. Next was Coscob, and it took off like wildfire. So every school in town wound up with a preschool program. But these kids were already in school, but they just couldn't go to. They were latchkey kids.
Yeah, these weren't kids that weren't old enough to go to school yet. This was a whole different idea. Yeah, I hear you.
But so it became a real success, and we expanded it to afternoons, so families could work. So, and the teachers would help them with their homework after school. And every time we increased our numbers, we had to increase our teachers. But we did it good, and it worked out great for the community and great for the families. Well, it got so big, Bob, that we couldn't handle it, and we turned it over to the Y.
Oh, no kidding.
And they took it over.
Oh, that's interesting.
But it was really, really a great success.
Well, fantastic.
Daycare, I think daycare and affordable housing go hand in hand, because when you have a affordable daycare for the kids to go to, and the parent is not spending 3/4 of what they make on daycare so they can work, it also helps them get affordable housing because they have more disposable income to pay a rent. So I think it's just as important as affordable housing, if not more so, actually.
Hmm.
I think we went a little bit long here, Bobby.
Oh.
answer your question.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's take a break.
All right.
661-5051. You're listening to Sam Romeo on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
I don't really like working.
I'm going to need a priority parking space.
I only work remotely.
How are your safe spaces?
Can I bring my dog to work?
Will your company protect me against microaggressions?
You're triggering me. Is this interview almost over?
You don't run a daycare. You run a business. That's why you need RedBalloon.work. RedBalloon has recruiters and hiring tools to help you hire adults. Call 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. That's 833-880-0600 for a free consultation.
This is Travis Milliman of Greenwich Library. Do you have questions about how AI might impact the job market? Join us at the Byram Schubert branch on Wednesday, February 19th from either 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. or 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a special career coach session entitled AI in Action, Job Seeking Strategies for the Digital Age. This workshop will introduce you to the basics of AI and demonstrate how it can empower your job search efforts. Once again, this iteration of the Career Coach will be at the Byram Schubert branch of the library, and registration is required. Please visit www.greenwichlibrary.org for more information, or call 203-622-7900 to talk to one of our librarians. We hope to see you soon at the library. This is Travis Milliman from Greenwich Library on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Okay, we're back, 661-5051. Bobby, I just tried something. I don't know if it's coming through or not.
Oh, I see you.
Are you there?
Yeah, hey, wait a minute. Let me switch things around here. Okay.
All right, let me get
there
rid of
you
the
are.
Phone.
Yeah, we can drop the phone call now.
There you go. All right, I changed the default. I don't know how
we still have a bit of an echo,
to that mode.
Maybe it's because the phone is still connected.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe the phone's still going. It is.
Yeah, I just hung up at this end. Okay.
Good.
I tell
We're
you.
Back. Oh, I feel at home.
Yes, I can imagine. Nice and clear sound. Yeah. Oh,
man.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay. What do we else have here in my stack of stuff here that... I want to talk about. Okay, this is a good one. Aquarian, right? Want to sell it to UI.
Yeah.
And this other, I don't know what the name of the company is, but let's see, I got it right here. Yeah, the $2.4 billion deal. And this is a funny one, too, but I think I mentioned this already. I had send an email off to our first selectman because 40 years ago, the Connecticut American Water Company was up for sale, which is now Aquarian.
Hmm.
And I wanted the town to buy the water company. And John Margonaut was the first selectman at the time, and they laughed me out of the Board of Selectmen meeting.
Oh, dear.
It was a dumb idea, a crazy idea. And they wanted $30 million for it
mm-hmm.
at the time.
Yeah.
But what came with that was our watershed, over 500 or more acres of land, maybe even more, plus all of the water. We would have controlled our costs and what the water was here in the town of Greenwich.
Mm-hmm.
We would have controlled our own destiny. So... Now the water company is at, looking to sell it, Bob.
Yes.
For $2.4 billion.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
$2.4 billion. And we could have bought it for $30 million, which would have gave us all of that land at the same time. Because in the meantime, I think we've gotten purchased some land from the water company that they didn't need anymore. So we spent over the $30 million already.
So that was like 50 years ago?
40 years ago.
Okay, 40 years ago. All right.
But again, it was, I think, a great idea, and I think I was ahead of my time on that vision of something was a great deal for the town that they turned down. And there was a number of times that they turned down that I wanted the town to do. Right here on our own border, Hebmeyer Lane, the old Cuisinart building was going up for sale, and I had got wind of it long before it hit the market, because I had some inside information on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the town, and I wanted them to buy it. And I think Paul Hicks was our selectman, along with John Margonaut. And again, they laughed me out and said, "Are you crazy, Romeo? Buy property in Stanford?" And my argument was, "John, you people are always arguing about what's happening on our borders. What better way to control what happens on our border but buying the property, owning it, subdividing it so it can only be like single-family homes or whatever we want it to be, and sell it back off again?" So I said, "Wouldn't that be the smart thing to do?" "Well, you're crazy, Romeo. We're not going to buy property in Stanford." Well, the property got sold. They wanted to put 200 units of housing on our border. And they were holding all kinds of public hearings at the time,
mm-hmm.
In the government center in Stanford. So I go, because I'm the chairman of my district, so I'm representing District 12, and it's borders me, and representing my constituents, and they didn't want it, obviously, and I didn't want it. And I go to the hearing, and I'm sitting there in the border, the government center, and who's sitting alongside of me in opposition of the development? Paul Hicks, our selectman. So I leaned over to Paul during the hearing, and I said, "Paul, buy property in Stanford, Romeo, huh?" You see, Paul, if you'd listened to me then, we wouldn't be here tonight. Again, I was way ahead of myself.
You know,
so,
how would it happen if you were to make that a part of Greenwich? Or is that just more expensive to do a thing like that?
No, I wasn't really wanting to make part of Greenwich.
I realize that. I thought partly because it would probably be more expensive. It would also take much longer because it probably would have to go in front of both, electorate would have to approve it.
There's a lot of, that would have been a lengthy thing. I just wanted to be the owner of the property.
Right.
As an entity.
And temporarily and own it, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Own it and then subdivide it.
Yeah.
As a developer,
mm-hmm.
and sell the property off.
Right.
With the deed restrictions on it.
Uh-huh.
So what would have ever happened on it would have been what we wanted to have happen and nothing else. But now I think they wound up with over 167 units or more on it. They scaled it down. But they got this big development right there on our border.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it does have a traffic impact on us. They put roundabouts in there.
Is that where that roundabout is right there? Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's barely a roundabout. I mean, there's barely enough room there for a roundabout. It's amazing.
A lot of cars go drive right over it.
I can't imagine.
A lot of tow trucks. Mm. They rip out the bottom of their car, their transmissions and everything.
Oh, jeez.
But, again, that was one of my deals. And, again, I got laughed out of court, so to speak.
Mm.
But I was right. So town officials, I know our first selectman is against the sale. Our state senator, Ryan Fazio, he's against it. A lot of, mostly the Republicans are against it. The Democrats, I don't know. They always seem to be be on the wrong side of the issue. So,
I've lost track of what you're now referring to. The water company. Is that the part you're referring now back to?
Right, right.
Okay.
Sorry, I digress.
A little bit, yeah.
But anyway, they're offering to buy it, and the officials, we believe, is going to raise our water rates even more. So I don't know what's going to happen. I guess the legislature is going to take a vote up on, I think there's a bill proposed on shooting down the sale. So, next item I was going to get into, but it's lengthy. We don't have enough time. I was going to start talking about the town budget. We do have some birds that were euthanized, Bob.
Really?
Yeah, Beardsley Zoo in Bridgeport Thursday said they had euthanized a number of birds, including a khaki Campbell. After that's the looks like a duck. It's a different kind of a duck. After the outbreak of the bird flu.
Yes, that's right. I forgot about that.
Several of the birds in its collection after a highly pathogenic avian influenza, more commonly known as bird flu, was detected at the zoo. Fisher said the news released on Thursday, shortly after discovery of a dead cotton patch goose on the zoo grounds. Thursday, staff had the bird tested for bird flu. And on Thursday, the zoo announced that preliminary test show it had this deceased bird. Okay, well, 661-5051. When we come back, we'll finish this and go out, take on some other subjects. You listen to Sam Romeo on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
This is your community radio station, serving Lower Fairfield County and Westchester. 1490 WGCH in Greenwich.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters, reporter. President Trump has created a task force aimed at stopping anti-Christian bias in the United States. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
Speaking at the National Prayer Breakfast, the president announced the task force, which will be led by Attorney General Pam Bondi.
The mission of this task force will be to immediately halt all forms of anti-Christian targeting and discrimination within the federal government.
He faulted the Biden administration for engaging in an egregious pattern of targeting peaceful Christians while ignoring violent anti-Christian offenses. The president said his administration will not tolerate such conduct. Greg Clugston, Washington.
There's a big name change for the Boy Scouts of America.
President and CEO Roger Krone says it's time for a name change.
It really allows us to kind of rebrand and reset. It's kind of nice to have some things that are new and fresh.
The organization has been trying to move past claims filed by tens of thousands of mostly men who said they were abused as young scouts, and the 2020 bankruptcy filing that followed. It began allowing gay youth in 2013, ended a blanket ban on gay adult leaders in 2015, welcomed girls in the Cub Scouts in 2018, and the flagship Boy Scout program in 2019. I'm Donna Water.
The Trump administration is suing Chicago over what are known as sanctuary laws. The administration claims the nation's third largest city thwarts federal efforts to enforce immigration laws.
That lawsuit filed Thursday is the latest effort to crack down on places that limit cooperation between federal immigration agents and local police. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 125 points, the NASDAQ rose 99, the S&P 500 advanced 22. More at townhall.com.
If you heard me talk about Relief Factor and how so many people enjoy a better, more pain-free life because of it. If you're dealing with everyday pain, it makes sense you'd want to try it first. Well, Relief Factor makes that pretty pain-free, too, with their three-week quick start kit for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Relief Factor doesn't just mask pain temporarily. It helps reduce or eliminate pain. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF for Relief Factor.
With Progressive Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. And right now, you're going to pay for groceries. But you decide what groceries. Just keep in mind you're running out of dishwashing soap. But you decide if you're going to buy that soap. Just those dishes won't clean themselves, will they? Remember, with Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then, you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T5.
Helicopters and airplanes are no longer allowed to share airspace over the Potomac River near busy Reagan Washington National Airport after a deadly January 29th mid-air collision there killed 67 people. Correspondent Bernie Bennett has more.
The FAA said in a statement posted Tuesday that a temporary flying restriction of the swath of airspace over the river will be restricted for airplanes, with exceptions. Officials said if a medical, police, military, or presidential helicopter must fly in that space, civilian aircraft will not be allowed, quote, to prevent potential conflicts in this airspace. The agency said the restriction on planes and helicopters near the Washington area airport is effective until March 31st. Investigators of the National Transportation Safety Board are trying to determine whether the Black Hawk involved in last week's collision was too high at the time of the crash, among other facts. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The average rate on a 30-year mortgage in the U.S. eased for the third week in a row.
The average rate fell to 6.89%, down a fraction from last week, according to mortgage buyer Freddie Mac. The rate is still more than 0.2% higher than a year ago. Even so, it is a welcome trend for prospective home buyers ahead of the spring listing season. Borrowing costs on a 15-year fixed-rate mortgage, popular with homeowners seeking to refinance, also fell to 6.05%. George Williams reporting.
Honeywell plans to separate its automation and aerospace technologies businesses from the U.S. industrial conglomerate following similar actions by companies such as General Electric and Alcoa. Honeywell said the move means there will be three publicly listed companies, when also accounting for its previously announced plan to spin off its advanced materials business. More at townhall.com.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy for tonight with patchy fog diminishing overnight in the low 30s, then mostly sunny for tomorrow near 40. Wind chills in the 20s, then partly cloudy for tomorrow night in the low 20s with a mostly sunny sky for Saturday. We'll warm into the mid-30s, then mostly cloudy for Sunday, snow possible with accumulation around an inch in the upper 30s, then mostly sunny for Monday. The winter season is the best to have trees removed from your property. Call Ed and his crew to take down any trees that could threaten your home or property at 203-758-0261. I'm meteorologist Chris Rush on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Champions are built here.
All the way to the rim, lays it up and in. Ha! About that. From midcourt, a heave. Good!
The tradition continues all season long.
Triple. Good.
And that's the way you like to see basketball played.
And once again, the top dogs come from stores. They win the Big East Tournament.
On your home for UConn women's basketball.
Enjoy the whole season right here on 1490 WGZH. It's time now for that informative issues and answers show, Greenwich Matters, where your host, Sam Romeo, will keep you up to date on the political scene in Greenwich, along with decisions made at the state and federal levels that impact Greenwich. And, of course, he'll take your calls at 661-5051. That's 661-5051. And now, here is your host, Sam Romeo.
Well, welcome back, folks, to the second fastest hour in radio. We're on, right, Bob?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
loud and clear.
I'm a little punchy here after. The reason why I asked because I got knocked off during the break.
Oh, did I didn't even notice that. Oh, dear.
Yeah. Anyway, but I'm back.
Okay.
We're talking about the bird flu, but I just want to digress a little bit. I guess that rat was right about the winter, Punxsutawney Phil.
Oh, that rat.
I call him a fat rat.
Yeah. So
grab him out of his hole and bingo, we got winter.
Yeah. So, PETA's trying to get us to all stop using these fat rats. To tell our weather.
Yeah, well, Peter wants us to stop eating meat.
Well, yeah.
But that's not going to happen.
You know, yeah, as if we're really treating what do you call them now? These woodchucks badly.
Yeah,
they're in the best. It's their best life they've ever had.
Look up.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, didn't God say in the Bible man has dominion over the animals and the earth and everything?
I believe so.
That's in there. I know that's in there.
So PETA may. I mean, I like when PETA, addresses issues where humans are hurting the animals. That really should be addressed. But sometimes they go off on a tangent or something. I don't know.
Yeah. They get real militant.
Mm.
So the du jour, the impeachment factor du jour of the day for Donald Trump now is he withdrew from USA aid there. And I think today over $500 billion they're slashing. $500 billion.
Mm.
And this is aid to countries that don't necessarily like us. We give it billions of dollars and millions of dollars to.
Nice.
And funding. And the Democrats are all incensed over this.
Mm-hmm.
And here they are defending their piggy bank, because basically that's what it was. It was a benefit to their friends. Among some of the things listed and where the money was going, there's a whole. I try to get a complete list, but I only got some of them. Among the project the White House takes issue with is listed $20 million for a new Sesame Street show in Iraq. Okay?
$20
million. We're given $20 million for a new Sesame Street in Iraq, right? And to $1.5 million and $5.5 million to promote to get this, Bob, right? $1.5 million and $5.5 million to promote LGBTQ advocacy in Jamaica and Uganda. They're gonna give that money to them for that reason. This is earmarked. It's not just making it up. It's a line item.
Yes.
Two countries where members of the LGBTQ plus community have few legal rights. Uganda is one of the world's strictest anti-gay laws,
mm-hmm.
including the death penalty. So they're going to give them money, $5.5 million, to promote it when, if they're gay, they get the death penalty. In Uganda, the Democrats are defending this. This is how crazy they got. It's because Elon Musk in his Dodge committee.
Doge.
You know, the Doge. It's just like Dodge, Dodge City.
There's no D in it. Okay. I'm no second D.
Okay.
I mean.
Okay, Corral.
Okay.
So here's another one. The administration also pointed to programs to fund $6 million for tourists in Egypt. So we're going to promote tourism in Egypt. We're going to give $6 million to promote people to come to Egypt.
Why? You mean people aren't? Isn't that where the pyramids are?
Right.
Isn't that a huge draw for tourism? My goodness.
Right.
Better now than anything we have practically.
There you go. Now we got $19 million to promote inclusion in Vietnam. Right?
Inclusion?
Inclusion. Like DIE.
Oh, I see.
Right? So we're going to give them $19 million in Vietnam.
What's the problem in Vietnam? Who's not being included, I wonder?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Now they want to give $5 million to Echo Health Alliance, described as one of the key NGOs, that non-government organizations, funding bat virus research in a Wuhan lab. They want to give them another $5 million. To do more bat research in the Wuhan lab in China. We didn't learn our lesson already? For decades, the USA bureaucrats have believed that they were accountable to no one. But the era is over. The White House wrote, President Trump is stopping the waste and fraud and abuse.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, the White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt criticized the USAID for spending $1.5 million to advance DEI in Serbia workplaces. $70,000 for a DEI musical in Ireland, and $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru. Now, are these people willing to fall under a sword for these issues? Did you see them on the news? How they're out there, all the leaders of the Democrat Party from the Congress and the Senate are out there rallying people across the country to support what Trump is doing here and getting rid of this stuff? They're actually not embarrassed by going out there and say, we want all of this stuff? A $70,000, $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru?
Is it our job to fix the world? What the heck?
No, I'm just saying, but think about it.
Yeah.
We're going to give them money to print a transgender comic book in Peru. Just listen to yourself, you people. Are you that stupid? Just because Trump said no, you say yes? That's what it's come down to. He says black, you say white.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, we're going to fight in the courts, we're going to fight in the Congress, we're going to fight in the streets. They're going to fight in the streets over these issues?
Right. That's the thing.
78% of the American people don't agree with them. That's the survey.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doubling down on it. You can't fix stupid, Bob. You can't fix stupid.
Yeah, but you can't get them out of office and put the right person in, which we did.
Right. We did.
Yeah.
We did. And the people voted for what he's doing.
Mm.
So what's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Everything he's doing, he said he was going to do. It's no secret.
Yeah, yeah.
He said they were going to cut $2 trillion out of budget, and they're going to find a waste and fraud. This is it. $500 billion of it in the first week they found. $500 billion. Of this BS stuff. Here's another one, Bob. While many Republicans view these programs as waste of taxpayer dollars, they represent a small percentage of spending that the federal government, Congress, has appropriated $43 billion to USAID in fiscal 2023, according to the report from the Congressional Research. The total expenditures were 6.1 get Bob sitting down. Total expenditures for 2023 were $6.134 trillion, according to the press release from the former Treasury Secretary.
Okay, Janet Sam, Yellen. I don't know what you did, but you've caused two people to call in that want to join in this conversation.
Oh, all right.
So, Tom's on.
I want to. Okay.
Tom's the first.
Go ahead.
Guy in line. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi,
hey,
Tom.
How you doing? How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, I was following this today on the internet also. This is why we have a crappy health care system. This is where the money's going to. We spend all this money in taxes. It doesn't go back to us. It goes somewhere else. So when the Democrats complain about universal health care, you've spent the money somewhere else.
It's absolutely.
It's kind of rude.
Tom, what? Tom, $6.134 trillion has
American
been spent.
American healthcare would be fixed with that money.
Every American citizen could have a golden parachute and never have to work again with $6 trillion. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Every American citizen.
And the reason you're hearing the complaints from the Democrats, because it is them who did it. Now, they really got me against the Democrats. Once again, voted for Bill Clinton every time. I voted for Lamont. But then again, he's not one of them. He just happens to be in that party. But, you know, what I'm trying to say is, there you go, Bernie. You've been in the government for 30 million years. There's where your health care, universal health care, is going. So our attorney general here in Connecticut is going hard on them with this. He has no right. He should be suing the state government for that 25% surcharge on unvoted benefits on our electric bill. You know, he's not for the people. He's for him and his party. And
did you see
still,
Chuck?
Yeah, go ahead.
Did
no,
you see Chuck Schumer?
He's on this one too.
He was doing a rally with Waters, Maxine Waters, saying,
"We will win.
These people have gone crazy." And then you got one guy who's drawing up articles of impeachment for Trump because of what he did here. Article of impeachment again. Don't they get it? Are they ever going
to
get it? It's
they
their time has
all
come.
All these Democrats who voted for this stuff. I'm sorry to interrupt. It's incredible.
These people forgot when they put their hand in the Bible. They promised to uphold the laws of the United States and enforce them, and they're not. They're even warning the illegals that ICE is coming ahead of time. These guys are breaking the law.
Yeah, well,
oh.
I won't go that far because you know,
they are.
I'm sure they are, and I don't, you know what, but they are the law. So it's just like they can get insider training and it's legal. Insider trading is legal.
That's legal.
So
yeah.
Spending all this money was legal, but how dare they? How dare they?
Yeah.
Spend this money and then say, why don't we have universal health care? Why? Because you guys
You're going to love this one. This is the best one of them all. This is the one that really got me searching.
Yeah.
They appropriated $50 million. $50 million for condoms in Gaza.
Yeah, someone told me that and I couldn't believe it.
It's true. Yeah. Yes, no. It's on the internet. You can get it. You can search it out.
I got a worse one. They gave Joe Soros $27 million for his prosecutors. And
yes.
I may say that wrong, but I heard that one. That's the worst.
No, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, that's the worst.
So looking at this, all of these things that the Democrats are so incensed over, in the overall budget, right? We take in like $4.5 trillion a year in revenue. Now, out of that $4.5 trillion, 0.7% of the federal budget goes to USA aid, according to the report.
And almost do the math
almost
for us? How much
almost 1% of our budget goes to foreign countries.
Yeah, no, I understand. Trying to help out our allies and all that at some point, but
they're not our allies.
Well, we want them to be allies, but we should wake up when they take the money and just use it for themselves and not what they're intended for. You know, we should wake up to that. But it is criminal.
Of course.
I'm going to say it again. You know, you want universal health care? Take all this money. Come on, Bernie, wake up.
We could pay for everybody's health with $6 trillion. Come on.
$6 trillion
overall. We gave away. And we're 36 trillion dollars in debt now.
And you know what? We could get better college students, learn to become doctors, and so they're not saddled with a debt. But you know, and instead of taking some other crazy courses, you know, we
everybody could have a home.
Education. Yeah,
everybody could have a home.
Yeah, I mean it's.
And under the Biden administration, and Joe Biden's brother got a $6 billion contract to build houses in Iraq. $6 billion contract, build houses.
Yeah, the fact that they gave it to an outsider is, you know, I don't mind them building a house of that, especially after what happened there. But to give it to
an
outsider.
Yeah, but Joe Biden's brother.
That's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the wrong person. What? Bobby never went there.
He hasn't built one house yet.
Yeah. Well, that's like our friends at Desegregate Connecticut. You know, they want New York developers to come in and build all these houses. Well, you know what? That's a very disingenuous group. What they should do is to promote 100% affordable housing. None of this 830G program. If they really are,
thank you.
Well, they're obviously Democrats, so they're cheating like everybody else. Everything they do should be 100% affordable. None of this other nonsense. But you're not going to see them do that because that's not what they're about. They're about trying to.
I don't know if you were listening to the show earlier, but I testified on Tuesday.
You were famous. I saw you in some internet newspaper thing.
Yeah, I got an award.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I got an award for the extra mile.
Oh, I would agree with that. I don't know what the award is, but I would definitely. I'll give you a personal award for the extra mile because you do go that way. I mean, what you do in Greenwich communities is unbelievable. Yeah, and it's really the model that Desegregate Connecticut should be using, but they're not because they really don't care about what they're talking about. They're just trying to embarrass people in this state.
And what people don't realize that this Desegregate Connecticut is a front for paid lobbyists. These people who are on that, they're being paid by the New York developer to represent them. And they're claiming, well, we're doing it for the good of humanity. BS, I say.
And that's why I say everything should be 100% affordable housing. You'll see developers run away faster than you can imagine. And then it'll be outfits like you and other parts in the state who are building 100% affordable housing will have the runway to do what needs to be done. But that's not what this is
about.
And
we know how to do it. We know what works. We know what we need to have a partnership with the state to get it done. But they got to listen to us and not the developers.
And this is why we can afford the universal health care. The reason we don't have it is because they will lose power. They give money elsewhere. Not to where it needed, because once we have it, no one's going to vote for them. And it's about them retaining.
That's what we
got
to do. We got to throw that to Bernie's face at every chance we get.
Yeah.
We could, Listen, I got another caller I want to take on if he's still there.
No, he's not still here.
Oh, well, that's right. Tompkins, stay on.
Scare him away.
Well, why don't we take a commercial break at least?
All right.
No, how about okay. I'll go and maybe that person will call back.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
You know
Tom,
where to
thanks
if you
for
need
the call.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, thank you.
All right, buddy. 661-5051. You're listening to Sam Romeo on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Nobody knows like Pinocchio knows. We knows our business.
For over 50 years, Pinocchio Brothers Incorporated has served the commercial and residential construction industries with scheduled or on-call trash and debris removal. Pinocchio can also supply you with any size or special dumpster. For prompt, reliable service with radio dispatch trucks, the ability to load at ground level, and always a competitive price, call Pinocchio Brothers every time. In Connecticut, call 203-869-9099. Or in New York, call 914-939-5346. Pinocchio Brothers, Liberty Place in Stamford. We knows our business. Call 203-869-9099 or 914-939-5346.
At Parsonage, their philosophy is to assist you in living life your way in a unique home-like setting that values dignity, pride, and independence. If you seek some assistance with daily living, Parsonage Cottage is a senior residence providing an affordable transition between home and nursing care. For many seniors, a little help with meals, housekeeping, and personal services makes the difference between happily living alone or being dependent upon family and friends. Their dedicated staff provides a full spectrum of services and activities to ensure the happiness, comfort, well-being, and independence of every resident. Parsonage Cottage is conveniently located off Exit 4 of I-95 and Exit 31 of the Merritt Parkway at 88 Parsonage Road in Greenwich. They invite you to contact them for a no-obligation tour of the facility. Call Penny Laurie at 203-869-6226. 869-6226. Parsonage, where you live life your way.
Do not invite car thieves to our community. Do not leave your keys in your car. Lock your car. Lock it or lose it. A message brought to you by Greenwich Matters.
Mostly cloudy for tonight with patchy fog diminishing overnight in the low 30s, then mostly sunny for tomorrow near 40. Wind chills in the 20s, then partly cloudy for tomorrow night in the low 20s with a mostly sunny sky for Saturday. We'll warm into the mid-30s, then mostly cloudy for Sunday. Snow possible with accumulation around an inch in the upper 30s. Then mostly sunny for Monday. I'm meteorologist Chris Rush on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Everything but politics. That's what my show is about. Hi, everybody. I'm Debbie Nigro. What am I about? I'm about resilience. I'm about attitude. A lot of heart and definitely a sense of humor. And I've heard that people feel better after listening to my show. I always look for the light in the dark, and I give you hope everything's going to be okay in your day. Delusionally young, outrageously fun. I book dynamic, upbeat guests. Check it out. 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on AM 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Okay, we are back. 661-5051 was a good little conversation we had with Tom, and Tom is very thoughtful and does his homework, too, and I'm glad he called in. Okay, where do we want to go? So we have two open lines. If you anybody wants to call in, 661-5051, we're here to take that call. So, it looks like the town of Greenwich okayed funds to buy, get this, Bob, town of Greenwich is buying a used fire truck.
Really?
Yes, we're buying a used one. We got two out of service, so we need something in a hurry.
Oh, I see.
Because we lost one on an interstate
right.
In that accident that that driver smashed into the back of it and destroyed a brand-new truck.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a couple million dollars. And another one we had in December had a icy road condition blamed for a crash involving our Engine 51 in December up in the backcountry.
Oh.
So we have two trucks that are down. So the accidents, a slow supply chain, and the town spending decisions have created holes in the Greenwich Fire Department's fleet. So fire officials are now seeking a used engine to fill the department's inventory. Fire officials brought an emergency request to the Board of Estimate Taxation for $150,000 January 22nd to purchase a used truck. The request was approved, and the truck is expected to be rolling on the calls around later on this year. Buying the used truck was to alleviate but not solve the town's fleet problems, which is persistent for years. Funds will be used to purchase a 20-year-old fire engine with low miles, and most of them have low miles on them anyway, according to the documents. Yeah, because they don't go that far, and hopefully they're not out that often.
Where are we getting it from, or can we ask?
I didn't get to that far yet.
All right.
So it's the BT engine will provide fleet stability for the next 3 to 5 years, so we're going to get some good use out of it. Fire apparatus generally have a service life of 20 to 25 years, fire officials have said. New trucks can cost $1 million or more and have recently taken at least 2 years to build and deliver. Greenwich fleets have been diminished by a pair of recent accidents. Engine 1 was totaled in June after an unregistered truck crashed into it on 985 in response to another crash. Engines in the department wheeled out engines 11 and 51, which serve as backups, creeping around the respective ends of their usefulness. So they're at the end of their usefulness anyway. So the $150,000 to fix up the engines they got to fix them up, to bring them back out, and one got destroyed again. So it says here, it's a big story, but... Stanford Fire... I think we bought it from Stanford.
Oh.
This truck. So it's close by. Yeah, so Stanford. So it's in good shape. It's a good truck. So we'll get our money's worth out of it, and it's one thing we can't do without is fire apparatus. We that and police cars. So what else we have here, Bobby? What happened to my notes?
I don't have them.
Oh, here they are. I got them. I found them.
Okay.
All right, so the raids are going on pretty substantially around town, and like I said, was going over with Tom, the Democrats in these cities, in Illinois and some other cities, are warning the illegals, especially the gangs. They went to Aurora, Colorado, to that apartment house that gang took over, and they were doing the raid on it, and it was empty. So that tells me that they got inside information knowing that ICE was coming. So did I lose you, Bob?
No, I'm just thinking to myself, what the heck do you do with people like that?
I mean, but these are elected officials that are in charge, and they're sending out warnings. Don't you want the criminals and the people that are robbing and causing all this crime out of your community? Why the hell would you want them to stay there.
Well, would you expect them to change overnight, Sam? Because they were allowing an awful lot of robbery and other stuff to go on and just looking the other way, you know, releasing people without bail after having arrested them for these things.
Right.
It's
But you would think you like being persecuted?
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell's wrong with you people? What's wrong with the elected officials? Again, like I say, when you swear your oath of office, put your hand in that Bible, you swear to a lot of things. You swear to uphold the laws of in the Constitution of the United States, the laws and if you're elected locally, a state or even a local official, to enforce the laws of the community that you're in and the state that you're in and defend it. So each and every one of them is violating their oath of office. So is that terms for impeachment?
Yeah.
Should we start impeaching all of them for violating their oath of office?
People would say we're just doing what they're trying to do to Trump. That's all.
Right. You're exactly right. But in this case, you got evidence.
Yes.
And they're on the TV with their chests out advocating it.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw that numbnuts, Chuck Schumer, with Nancy, not Nancy, with Maxine Waters, holding hands and chanting, "We will win." He sounded like a real jerk, a real nerd. I mean, it's not even any passion in his voice. It's just like it's a written word he has to say. I mean, they really have gone bananas. They've lost sight of reality. The country voted to change all of this. That's why Trump's there. And you may not like it. You may hate Trump, but he was elected to do exactly what he's doing. And as far as Elon Musk goes, he's not an elected official, no. He's an advisor. Mm-hmm. He was appointed to do and commissioned to do exactly what he's doing, root out fraud and waste in government. Caroline Leavitt says it best, the White House press secretary.
Yes.
She made a statement. She says, "I don't know about you, but as an American taxpayer, I don't want my dollars going towards this crap. And I know the American people don't either. That's exactly what Elon Musk has been tasked by the President Trump to do. Get the fraud, waste, and abuse out of the federal government." Now, all of those things that I mentioned, all those millions of dollars, are going out of the country to foreign governments, not the American people.
Hmm.
And the Democrats have got everybody believing that we're going to be going after Head Start, Meals on Wheels, Social Security, Medicare, and social services here in the country. No, it's what the Democrats have approved and are sending out of the country. That's the money that Trump wants to cut and bring back to us and use it for the American people. That's exactly what they're doing. And the Democrats, once again, are ginning up all of this phony outrage to get this way. And then when this one guy, congressman, I forget where he's from, was on the news today saying he's forming articles of impeachment. Are they sick? They impeached this guy twice, and it didn't work, and they're going to go for a third time? They did phony investigations on the guys, and it was thrown out. And I can't wait now, because people say, oh, he's still a convicted felon. Well, I can't wait until it gets into a real court and it gets thrown out. Mm-hmm. Then they're not even going to have that to say, because it is going to get thrown out. That convicted felon that they claim.
Yes. Yes.
So why don't we take a rate, Bobby?
Okay, this will be our last one. Yeah.
Yeah. So 661-5051, you're listening to Sam Romeo on 1490 and WGCH.com anywhere.
This is Travis Milliman of Greenwich Library. Do you have questions about how AI might impact the job market? Join us at the Byram Schubert branch on Wednesday, February 19th from either 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. or 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a special career coach session entitled AI in Action, Job Seeking Strategies for the Digital Age. This workshop will introduce you to the basics of AI and demonstrate how it can empower your job search efforts. Once again, this iteration of the career coach will be at the Byram Schubert branch of the library, and registration is required. Please visit www.greenwichlibrary.org for more information or call 203-622-7900 to talk to one of our librarians. We hope to see you soon at the library. This is Travis Milliman from Greenwich Library on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Hi, this is Sid Mark with more of the February sounds of Frank Sinatra, and the legend continues. This week it's February 1969 in part two of Sinatra and Jobim. Then and again, February 1941, Frank Sinatra and Tommy Dorsey. Sinatra and Axel Stordahl, February 1949. All of this and more. This week's Sounds of Sinatra. My name is Sid Mark, and you're invited.
This Sunday evening from 5 till 7 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Okay. We are back. So let's wind down on this. I'm just going to make a statement here from Secretary of State Marco Rubio, who told Fox News on February 3rd, this is not about getting rid of foreign aid. There are things that we do, though, U.S. aid, that we should continue to do that make sense, and we'll have to decide. It's better to go through the State Department, or is it better to go through something as a reformed and a reformed USAID? That's a process we're working through. So right now, this was going through the Treasury Department and no oversight. Congress appropriated X billions of dollars or trillion, and the Treasury Department just was writing checks and sending it out. That's going to stop. And I don't think that's bad. And I don't think the American people think it's bad.
No.
So I certainly don't, and I applaud what's happening. And when they're identifying all of these senseless grants to these foreign countries, it's mind blowing. And then to have the Democrat Party come out in outrage that they're upset that we're not giving money to a foreign country. It's not buying us anything. Some cases it might, but to the programs that they're sending it to, doesn't do anything for us. It doesn't help our security in our nation. It takes away from American people. Again, the total number, over $6 trillion has been watered through us. We could have done a lot with $6 trillion for the American people. Anyway.
The health care was a good point that Tom was making.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
And then some. I mean, health care times 10. I mean, there was more than enough money there to have a tremendous health care. Everybody get free drugs, free health care. Everybody have a free home. $6 trillion we're talking about.
How about seeing if we can solve some of these medical problems we don't know answers to, like Alzheimer's?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Put more money into AI. Anyway. So Bobby, you're going to love this one. Joe Biden signed a contract with a talent agency.
A talent agency?
Yep. Hollywood Talent Agency. I forget it. CAA, I think it is, or CCA. Hmm. Talent Agency. Signed a talent contract. And rumor has it. Now, the contract that he signed is true, right?
Okay.
I'm putting this. I'm, what I'm going to tell you next is a spin.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Rumor has it that they're going to do a remake of Bernie's Weekend at Bernie's. And he's got the lead role.
Oh, dear.
But no, he did sign a contract. But that was the first thing that came into my mind, Bob, when I heard that he signed this contract. I couldn't resist it. I'm sorry. Could not resist it. Now, let's take on another exploding head issue that got the Democrats going crazy and a lot of people who don't understand tariffs and how they work.
Yes.
Okay. I think I mentioned this a week ago or several weeks ago, that up until 1913, the United States ran itself on tariffs. And then they came in with the income tax.
Yes.
But the government was funded strictly by tariffs. Fast forward to where we are today. Tariffs seem to be a bad word to a lot of people. And they say it's going to create trade wars. Well, that depends on how the tariffs are used. Now, Donald Trump used them as a bargaining tool. And for the most part, they work for him, and they work for the American people. He came out and he said he was going to put tariffs on Mexico and Canada. Everybody, the Democrats ran to the microphones before the ink was even dry on what he said, that we're going to get in a trade war with Canada. We need a lot of lumber and oil, and we get a lot of agriculture from Mexico.
Right.
We're not going to get our guacamole, and we're not going to get our Corona beer. Oh, my God. What are we going to do? Tariffs are going to drive up the cost for the consumer. It's going to be a tax on the consumer. Well, within 24 hours, Mexico acquiesced and gave Trump everything he wanted on the border.
Matter of fact, they've already had their military stationed up along the border,
right.
Haven't they? Yes.
Right. Got everything he wanted. Canada did the same thing. Stopping the fentanyl, the immigration, and they're putting troops on the border.
I think that the thing is that the tariff hurts the country it's being imposed upon as much as it hurts us who have to pay a little bit more for the product.
Right.
But it hurts them more.
Yeah, I mean, I could live without avocados and beer, the Corona.
Or you'll end up buying fewer, as the whole country probably will.
Right.
So that will hurt a country like Mexico.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
And they know that.
So
that's why they acquiesced.
Right. I'll buy a different beer. I'll get an alternative. As far as lumber goes, we got tons of lumber here in the United States. We got more oil under our feet than the whole world has. So that's why Canada acquiesced. So tariffs are bargaining tools.
I like the thing that I was hearing about people talking about Canada becoming another state in our country.
Yeah. Trump throws out. Trump.
Yeah,
Trump,
that's right. It was him that I was saying it. Yeah.
Yeah. He throws out these things. And he does it. He tweaks them. He knows that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But he throws them out, and they all go crazy. Their heads start exploding. and he said, we're going to make Trudeau our governor of our 51st state. and he's just toying with them. And they take the bait every time. I mean, if they don't know Trump by now, they're
never
going to know. They don't get him. They don't get him.
Nope.
I get him. I know what he's doing. And I laugh because I every time he comes up with something outrageous or he makes a statement like that, I turn to Mary and say, tomorrow's headline, right? Tomorrow's headline.
Right.
Then during I guess he was making this, addressing somebody, I forget where it was. And he was talking about, well, you know, it's my second term and maybe I'll get a third term. And bingo, the next day, the everybody was going crazy. He's going to be a dictator, you see. He's not going to want to leave. And he just throws that stuff out there to tweak him. Mm-hmm. And they take the bait every time.
Yeah.
Every time they take the bait. They can't help themselves, Bob.
Right.
But if you see them and you watch the news, especially if you go on MSNBC, CNN, and they all have the same talking points. And they're just incensed over it. They just go absolutely crazy.
I've been watching Newsmax lately myself.
Me too. But I always switch on it to see what they're saying.
I've been in the habit of just tuning in the Today Show the mornings when I'm getting up. And I was beginning to think I was missing some of the things that were going on. Because it would be something a little too controversial for them to talk about on that show, so I figured, okay, I'll go with Newsmax, and they're pretty good. I thought they got a little too repetitive in covering the airplane crash down in.
Yeah. I agree.
They're much better. Very even-handed. Good interviews. A little too fast sometimes, but they're trying to get a lot in. I understand.
What I like about them is the scroll along the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
I like that scroll that they have. And it gives you an update on what's going on. So, actually, I got it going right now. in the background, I'm looking at it.
Uh-huh. Right. You don't want to miss anything.
Oh, I see. Yeah, we got a new attorney general, and she's going to be great.
Pam Bondi?
Yeah. Oh, she's going to be fantastic. I liked her when she was attorney general in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, here they go. They're going crazy here on the left there about Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And, Elon Musk. I just love watching that. It's very entertaining. Oh, let's see. What else we got here, Bobby? Okay.
Where'd that name Doge come from with Elon anyway? Is that somehow related to that new cryptocurrency?
No. It stands for... I had it in front of me.
Yeah.
It's an acronym.
Oh.
I just had it in front of me. Hold on.
Oh. Department of something or other?
Yes. Department of D.O. Government.
Excess?
No. Hold on, we'll get it.
Equity.
If I don't get it now.
It's not equity.
No. Let me see if I can go. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I have it right here. Still up. Hold on.
I thought you. I didn't expect it to be an acronym. That's surprising.
Yes, it is. Oh, here it is. It says United States Internet Development. No, that's not it. Hold on. But I got it. We'll get it. I knew it, but, you know, sometimes you escape me. Let's do it this way. Let's put it in.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm throwing the computer and pop it back at us. Let some of that AI help us.
Yeah. Department of Government Efficiency.
Efficiency. Oh, there it is.
Department of Government Efficiency.
I like that, actually. It's pretty straightforward.
There you go.
Yeah.
And what their charge is to root out waste and fraud.
Yeah, makes sense.
Matter of fact, Bob, they found Medicare reimbursements were being ripped off like you would not believe overpayments to the doctors in hospitals. One big giant fraud.
Oh.
And it's all coming out. And again, like Tom had said, the reason why the Democrats are going crazy, they got caught at it. They've been exposed now. And they don't know what to do. They're piggy bank. They gave Politico, it's supposed to be a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
They got $8.6 million of government money. It's supposed to be a news organization.
Yeah, that's very questionable right there.
Yeah, right. So a conflict of interest.
Mm.
And Caroline Leavitt brought it up and said, you're not going to get that no longer. It's done. And they were using it, the congressmen, the Democrats were using it, and the people that work in government, and putting it on their expense accounts and getting reimbursed back for the government. $8.6 million.
You know, it's kind of exciting right now, this growth of an honest government that's not defrauding the people that it serves. It's kind of exciting right now.
It is. And money is going to be coming back to the American people.
Mm-hmm.
Where it belongs.
Yes.
It's our tax money. We work hard for it. I know, it used to tick me off. Every April 15th, I've got to write my check to the government for my taxes. And they take that money from me, and they give it to a foreign country.
Oh, please.
They give it away.
Yeah.
Free. After I broke my butt to make it,
mm-hmm.
and I got to give it to them and say, here, and they don't have to worry about it. Just free money to them. That always frosted me, that I work like hell to make the money. I got to give it to them so they can give it to somebody else. And especially somebody even that doesn't even belong here.
And doesn't like us. That was the other thing that you said before that got me. They don't even. These are countries that don't like us. They don't. They think they're putting one over us on us, and it looks like they are.
You can't buy friendship. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Either you are my friend or you're not. You can't buy it. It's like I say, you can't buy love. But it can make. You can buy happiness though with it. Anyway.
I don't know about that, Sam.
Well, that's our song. So be well, be safe. We'll see you next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, lock your car and make less work for Chief Evie and our boys in blue. Mm. So until next week, you've been listening to Sam Romeo on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
This is your community radio station, serving Lower Fairfield County and Westchester. 1490 WGCH in Greenwich.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters reporting. President Trump says he's directing Attorney General Pam Bondi to head a task force aimed at rooting out anti-Christian bias.
The mission of this task force will be to immediately halt all forms of anti-Christian targeting.